AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So one of the podcasts I listen to with some frequency is called Reveal. It's an investigative reporting podcast. Highly recommend you check it out as they report on some of the, underreported stories that are making their way through the news cycle. And one that caught my eye was from the other day that talks about how the Trump administration helped kneecap the Robert Mueller of South America. Super fascinating story about the American interference that happened with corruption in the country of Guatemala. And joining us on the show right now is one of the key contributors to that podcast and someone who also wrote a piece about what happened in Guatemala in the Daily Beast. It's Ariancy Diaz-Cortez who joins us now on the show. Hey, Ariancy, how you doing today?
Good. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot to unpack here. And I should mention, to really get in depth, I'd recommend you either read the article over at Daily Beast or listen to the Reveal podcast. We'll just kind of very much scratch the surface of what happened, but there's a lot more detail we probably won't have time to get to on this interview. But give us some of the background on the key players that were in this scandal, Ariancy, mostly referring to Jimmy Morales, who is the former president, or was the former president of Guatemala, who was being investigated by, a United Nations-backed Colombian prosecutor by the name of Ivan Velasquez, as Velasquez was investigating Morales. But then there was some interference from the Trump administration in terms of this investigation. So just give us some background on some of the key players in this scandal.
Of course. Just to start a little bit at the beginning, Velasquez is like this crusading prosecutor in Latin America, and then was invited to lead this commission that started in the early 2000s. It's an anti-corruption commission called the International Commission Against Impunity, which is a very big way of saying that they went after corruption in the government. This commission was UN appointed and was fully funded by the United States since the Bush era, since its inception. So it was a bipartisan kind of supported commission. And Velasquez was known to just go after, big fish in his own country. He went after the then Colombian president Álvaro Uribe's administration, and in Guatemala he put former president Otto Perez Molina in jail, which left the country right around the time he began void of a president. There entered Jimmy Morales, who is very Trumpian or very much a Latin American right-wing populist in the making, in the way that we see Trump now being. So maybe Trump is Morales-ian or Latin Americanist in some ways, but a Latin American populist. But you see kind of this very famous TV star comic, kind of beyond crass, kind of a revolting character, the clown in blackface, a flying carpet, making fun of indigenous people throughout his career, but then takes this opportunity and is backed by big forces in Guatemala City, to become the president. And he runs like Trump on an anti-corruption platform, just like Drain the Swamp. It was ni corrupto ni ladrón. So initially, Velasquez and Morales, along with the Guatemalan Congress, are kind of like a dream team. This commission makes recommendations on and investigates people, and then makes recommendations on how to prosecute them, and then the Guatemalan Congress responds. It was a way to like do the very boring work of institution building after decades of civil war and decades of, frankly, U.S. involvement in backing military dictatorships there that, went on to commit genocide and disappear an entire generation of intellectuals and killed any sense of progressive movement for decades, really. So this commission was seen as like a reckoning between the United States and Guatemala to, kind of do this work and address what's called the root causes of migration, which is, people don't want to leave their countries. They just feel that they can't thrive there, and they can't thrive because there is no rule of law. If you feel like you can't go to the cops because something happened to you, then it has a sense of a failed state. So it was a way to address that. So initially it worked out really well. And so Velasquez, the way he worked was going after kind of rings of corruption. So initially he gets wind that Morales' family is involved in corruption regarding these breakfast. It's a very convoluted story about checks that were never cashed. And he starts to pull on that string and ends up investigating Morales for campaign finance fraud way back to his kind of campaign. So this creates a huge rift between both of them to the point that, you know, Morales goes on TV and declares him persona non grata and demands that he leaves the country. There's protests in the country demanding that Velasquez stays. The Guatemalan Congress both declares Morales immune but keeps Velasquez in the country. And they're kind of like at this stalemate, you know, in like 2018. And around this time, and I don't know if you want me to pause there, Brett, but I was going to go to around this time kind of how the lobbying starts to
begin
on the part of the Morales administration.
Yeah, let's continue with this. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. And around this time, these like lobbying efforts begin from Guatemalans in the Morales administration working with lobbyists in the U.S. to send signals to the Trump administration like, hey, we're here for you. Tell us what you need. And how that kind of plays out is that kind of in an official way is that when the United States announces that they're moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, the first country to back them up is the Morales administration and is Guatemala, to the point that you see Morales at AIPAC, you see Nikki Haley fawning over the Morales administration while kind of, you know, like really going hard on this commission, saying that they need to, you know, back off, that they're bad for business, that they need to get out of the newspaper and be like the FBI and be more anonymous and not do press conferences. And like basically says, if you don't do any of these things, I will pull the money, right? You know, at this early stage, they weren't able to pull the money because it's UN. It's UN-backed, but there's definitely a campaign going on where Velasquez also gets wind that these conversations are happening in Washington at a national prayer breakfast, and then later with this move of the embassy, where it's like, you have Robert Mueller in the United States, I have Iván Velasquez in Guatemala, let's, you know, help me get this commission out and Iván Velasquez out of my hair, and I will be at your disposition for whatever you need, especially regarding migration policy. So Iván Velasquez alleges this quid pro quo, and as this is, you know, this move is happening at, you know, of the embassy, you know, Morales is just actively against Iván Velasquez, and it all comes kind of to this intense emotional climax where Morales goes on television in front of the National Palace with like the military behind him, with 50 officers behind him, and the military in Guatemala has remnants of literally genocide and, you know, four decades of intense civil war. So it wasn't, it was a symbol, and Velasquez describes it as like, it was a way for those over 40 to remember how things were in Guatemala. And he then announces that Iván Velasquez must leave Guatemala, effective immediately, and sends jeeps with mounted artillery, funded by the U.S., by the way, jeeps with mounted artillery to surround the offices of the commission and to basically demand that Velasquez leaves. Ultimately, civil society, Guatemalan society comes out and protests, but ultimately he, you know, leaves for the U.N. on these meetings. He doesn't want to leave. He's very much a very strong person, and then he's never allowed to let back in. He runs the commission from Colombia for a year, but this basically, you know, after this move to Jerusalem and right around the signing of the Safe Third Party, the commission is dismantled and the building is scheduled to be demolished this year. So it is no more.
So this really was a quid pro quo, another quid pro quo from the Trump administration. Of course, we're very familiar with what happened with the Ukraine quid pro quo, which led to an impeachment scandal here in the U.S., but this was another case of this happening. And just to back up and break this down, so essentially the quid pro quo was this. We had an influx of immigrants coming to the United States or attempting to come to the United States from Guatemala, and the deal that the Trump administration and Morales cut was that, well, Trump said, we'll dismantle this commission that's investigating you for corruption if you sign this Safe Third Country Agreement, which would significantly slow down immigration to the U.S. Is that essentially what this deal was that was cut between the two leaders?
That's what we assume this deal was. What Velasquez alleges is that he's like, what you see in reality is what happened. We have FOIA'd for this. We are on, you know, we're on the path, you know, we're on the path of finding the smoking gun. But it's important to understand that the relation, the power dynamic between Guatemala and the United States has been entrenched in the sense of quid pro quo. But this is a sense where you see like the blatant timeline of things, of political moves happening as this commission is getting kicked out, and Velasquez, the head of the commission, alleging this. Morales wanted something in exchange for getting me out. What ended up, what we see in reality is that what ends up happening is that the safe third party is signed, and then the commission is completely ousted and dismantled. The funding is pulled, and where it gets really like kind of long-winded down the rabbit hole, Brett, is that what was the reasoning for pulling this commission? And the reasoning and the lobbying efforts that happened was that basically they claimed that Velasquez was the commission was an arm of Vladimir Putin, and that Joe Biden was kind of a socialist that had supported them, which is completely unfounded. There's absolutely no evidence that Velasquez has anything to do with Russians, that the commission received any money. This is a U.S.-funded, U.N.-backed commission for like over a decade now. And, you know, this makes it to the pages of the Wall Street Journal and the halls of Congress. So there's a whole kind of effort, lobbying effort on the part of the U.S. to convince the Trump administration that he has to pull this commission. And Jimmy Morales is like, I will have a pliant, you know, an open door policy to you. I invite you to, you know, to do what you will with migration policy in Guatemala, is the allegation. Now, we talked to the State Department that also says there's no direct evidence, but that it was clear that once Trump was in power, the whole conversation around Guatemala and the commission was to keep Central Americans in Central America at whatever cost, whatever negotiations had to be brokered with Jimmy Morales to do that.
And to talk about what was happening in the U.S. just a couple of years ago, or I think it was even a little bit less than that, where the commission was dismantled with congressional approval. As you talked about, there were allegations that the commission was an arm of Vladimir Putin, which, as you brought up, was untrue. But it all stemmed from the fact that there was, I believe, a very wealthy oligarch from Russia who had to leave the country because he was being accused of being corrupt. He ended up moving to Guatemala, and that, of course, is what led to him being investigated by Velasquez, and that's kind of the crux of what happened. There was really no proof whatsoever that this commission had any connections to the Russian government, even though many politicians, including Marco Rubio, and even a few Democrats were on board saying, well, this thing's just an arm of Vladimir Putin, and that's what kind of led to the dismantling of the commission, or at least the justification for dismantling the commission.
Right. And this is where it's like there's absolutely no evidence for this reasoning. And we spoke to Velasquez. It just has remnants of this kind of Cold War era kind of narrative. Right. And his response was, yes, a narrative from Gabriel Garcia Marquez. Right. Which is just like down the rabbit hole of Alice in Wonderland, because there, you know, not only this is like a UN backed bipartisan commission funded by the United States for its entire life cycle. So then to see like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio so adamantly kind of defend this Russian family who was investigated in 2015, long before this time, it was kind of a red herring and an excuse to hold these, to hold these congressional hearings to bring down Velasquez. But ultimately, like, they succeeded and the commission is no more, right? And I guess what that means for Guatemalan society is that you had kind of this glimmer of hope and like institution building and accountability on the part of the U.S. for their involvement in the crises that we see that now is forcing people to leave. It goes back to the 1950s. It goes back to Eisenhower. That kind of sense of hope and you know, the relationship that the U.S. built over many, many years after 1997, which was when the peace accords were signed, with Bill Clinton apologizing in Guatemala in 97, all of that was kind of destroyed, and it's taken Guatemalan U.S. policy back at least four decades, is how it seems. by experts and also by, you know, people in the commission themselves and what you see once you, you know, as a Latin Americanist and a person who covers these issues.
And it's so frustrating, too, because when we have at least the immigration debate here in the U.S., we don't focus often enough on the reasons why people are leaving Central American countries in the first place. And you hit the nail on the head right there. Guatemala was making an effort to try to root out corruption and create a society where people would want to stay in the country and be able to prosper. But when you take that away, well, that's how we have thousands of people from that country that are looking to immigrate to the U.S. so they can have, well, a chance at a better life. So it's just unbelievable that this is happening over and over and over again, because obviously this isn't the first time we've meddled in a Central American's country or Central American country's affairs, and it's just unreal that we continue to do this and we have yet another example of us meddling in another country's affairs. And by the way, as you said, they were trying to root out corruption and essentially we kneecapped them, and yeah, as you said, now we've really set the country back several more years.
And I mean, I think you hit a key point that I don't get asked enough, or I just, you know, I thought initially at the start of the story, the question was, why do people continue to want to flee during clearly an anti-immigrant policy on the part of the United States with the Trump administration, but also just the journey, the leaving your family, the leaving everything behind, like, why, you know, why? And when we ask why, especially in the media, we usually cover, well, poverty and drug violence, kind of these one-line lazy answers. But, you know, what you have to talk about are the root causes of migration. And this commission was an attempt to address those root causes, you know, which are the very boring work of institution building, right? And you know, and to root that out and then to be like, why are they coming? It's, you know, they go hand in hand, even though we can frame it as disjointed. Like, U.S. immigration policy is different from the root causes of why people are leaving, are fleeing in the thousands. But really, they're just so connected in these, like, power politics at the top, right?
It appeared, I mean, say what you want about the immigration policies or the foreign policy of the Obama-Biden administration, but what really spearheaded this commission headed by Velasquez was during the second term of Barack Obama between about 2013 and 2016. You might remember this back in the news cycle if you're listening right now, that we had thousands of immigrants arriving at the border from Guatemala, and we were trying to look for a way to hopefully have them try to stay in their own country. And it was Joe Biden who was largely spearheading this effort. He was put in charge of this by Obama, where they decided to, well, if we put this commission in Guatemala with UN backing, well, potentially that could lead to, well, a better government in Guatemala. And in turn, people would be able to prosper and they wouldn't have to immigrate in the first place, which seemed like a pretty good deal at the time. And now, of course, we've completely changed course and have an entirely different way to try to stop immigration from Guatemala. And overall, it's just hurting the citizens of that country.
That's correct, Brett. And I think it's just fair to point out that, like, it started in 2006 under Bush. With the unaccompanied minors crisis, with hundreds of thousands of kids without families at the border from Central America, Joe Biden then takes it upon himself to be like, I am here to address the root causes. And he meets with Morales. Like, that, you know, the whole thing is to support Velasquez, to support the commission, to support the attorney general and the Supreme Court in Guatemala, to root out corruption together. And you just see a stark contrast the moment the Trump administration begins. And Nikki Haley comes down to Guatemala as a representative of the Trump administration to be like, tone it down. And from there until its dismantling is a very short span of time. So in an election year, as we make these choices, there are two completely different pathways of what these administrations will do as they, you know, as they address foreign policy with Central America, specifically with Guatemala.
So final question for you here, Anyansi, and is there any hope that things could change in Guatemala? What's the outlook for the future right now? Because we're unfortunately painting a pretty bleak picture. And is there a chance that things could change, or is it going to be a very, very long process to hopefully add more stability to the country?
I mean, I can say two things, you know, a little bit of a hopeful not hopeful, but, you know, the point of this commission was, you know, to kind of make recommendations, and independent investigators making recommendations to the Guatemalan Congress on how to address corruption, right? But it was seen as something transitional that could then be kind of taken on by Guatemalan civil society and by the justice system in Guatemala. So there is a resurgence, kind of a reinvigorating of this generation of being like, okay, well, now it's time to demand accountability and take it into our own hands and demand that from the new president who began this January, named Alejandro Yamate. Now, Alejandro Yamate was not unknown to politics. He had run for president 4 times, but he was also, he ran the prison system. He has deep ties to, like, you know, he has deep ties to the military there that ran the country for these decades where all these grave human rights violations were committed. He was indicted for extrajudicial killings in the prisons. The commission went after him. He hid in the Honduran embassy to try to avoid justice, and then he becomes president. So that there's no hope in the new administration. It's almost in some ways worse than the Morales administration, and without the CC, it really leaves, without the commission, it really leaves kind of this void there. But the kind of path forward is the idea that this commission managed to create at least a little bit of a sense of culture around, you know, around accountability and building constitutional law, and that now the Congress will take it into their own hands, and it's in the hands of the Guatemalan people. So that's where we are. But it's unfortunately, it's not a very hopeful picture for this the Yamate administration.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking too when I at least did some very brief Wikipediaing of the new administration that's in charge. And as you said, yeah, this guy certainly has a very checkered past. That's now the president of Guatemala. Well, unfortunately, Anihansi, we are out of time, but this is a really good conversation, and I recommend people either check out the article over at the Daily Beast or go to the podcast at Reveal. I believe it's one of their most recent episodes. You can go get much more detail about this whole situation. We only scratched the surface during the interview, so again, highly recommend you go to the Daily Beast or the podcast Reveal. We've been speaking with Anihansi Diaz-Cortez, as she was a key contributor in this piece about how the Trump administration helped kneecap the Robert Mueller of South America. Anihansi, I really appreciate the time today.
Thank you so much, Brett. Sorry, one more time. Thank you so much, Brett. It was a pleasure to talk to you and be on your show.